Good morning. Today is Friday, February the 2nd. I see my shadow. How about you?
I absolutely do. Here in the sun.
Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. I don't remember if you see the shadow, does that mean 6 more weeks of nasty?
I think that's what it is, yes.
The inverse, I think, is what it's supposed to be. What I'm surprised is that Punxsutawney Phil didn't pop up with an Eagles sweater on.
You know, he just, although that's Western Pennsylvania, and I think the Steelers and Eagles just don't mix in Pennsylvania.
You think he'd pop up with the Patriots?
No, I don't think he'd pop up with the Patriots. But.
Oh, that's right, but they probably couldn't say it was anything related to the Super Bowl because of copyright infringement.
I don't know. I think he would. He'd probably look pretty good in a little Viking sweater if we could ever get the Vikings back to another Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, you know, at least they're hosting.
There is that.
Oh, let's see if we can find some kind of a quote to jump things off here. Ernest Hemingway. I like this one. I've learned one thing: don't go on trips with people you don't like.
That is always good advice.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, boy. So what are you hearing out of the Golden Dome? Anything exciting?
You know, I haven't really heard too much out of Sacramento, at least like in the last month. It seems like sometimes we get a lot of flurry of activity of things that are, you know, kind of being expected to be worked on, you know, whether it's transportation bill and things like that. Certainly right now, a topic you and I have talked about many, many times, of course, is CalPERS and cost of pensions. And, you know, Governor Brown came out, you know, somewhat recently, really indicated he wanted to see a change to the California rule that basically says whatever the pension is on the day you're hired, courts have ruled that it can't change after that. That has created, you know, part of the unsustainability in the system. So, you know, those kind of issues are at the court level, and it's the governor's office has weighed in. But you know, we're in the last year of Governor Brown's tenure. I doubt if pension issues are going to get solved in this year, but I would think from a voter standpoint, should be paying very close attention to that in the 2018 election for governor.
Karen Deemer, when she was in, your compadre over in Arcata, she said that even though the stock market has had such strong growth under President Trump and the economy nationally is experiencing what it's experiencing, that it takes so long for that impact to work through
in
the retirement plan that there's no real relief for those in California that are dealing with this anchor, weight, I don't know what, challenge. I mean, it's kind of all in that same kind of
all together,
arena.
Right.
How long will it take before, let's say things stay just as they are now. It's flat now. We're 26,000 in the stock market in however many years. So the ROI or the return on those investments is strong. You guys don't have the gap to cover. How long will it take before there starts to become relief at the city level and the county level so that some of those dollars can now go into cops, can go into parks, can go into streets, can go into the infrastructure that's being deferred?
Yeah, I think there are several things that impact, in a sense, the entire pension system. I mean, certainly investment income is one. What employers and employees are charged and pay into the system, that's, in a sense, those are the three pillars: employee share, employer share, and investment income. And then, of course, then the amount of costs going out. But, you know, for a number of years, they had a projected rate of return of 8%. And that is, you know, some years you might hit that, but they had, of course, a lot of years where 8% was not hit. So they've
shockingly high over the last 10 years.
So they've been ratcheting that down, that projected rate of return. And so as they've ratcheted that down, then increased cost to the employer. So yeah, you like to see, and I don't know, I'm not sure how CalPERS did this past year, because there's a number of things that by state law they're not allowed to invest in. They can't invest in tobacco companies. There's other, I think coal is one thing they can't invest in. So there's a number of things they can't invest in. And in some cases, you know, might say the state is, you know, ties their hands in terms of some investments.
So I think
we need a lot of years of some, you know, much higher rate of returns in order for that to have a real impact. And, you know,
are you treading water now, or is it even continuing to get worse?
Or more
budget impact?
You know, I serve on the league's Revenue and Taxation Committee, and this is my second year on it. And certainly one of the biggest things we've been looking at in the time I've been on it is the impact of pensions on cities. And that's an issue the League of Cities has probably become their top priority to deal with, because it impacts all cities. And I saw the last return in terms of where the pension system is at. Oh, it's 68% funded, I believe is the number, if I'm remembering right. That's down from where it actually was a couple of years ago. So I think there's a number of things that are going to just have to be done at the state level in terms of looking at future cost of living increases.
Just reformation.
A number of things,
yeah.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, some of the challenges that are out there, I would imagine, are seen as self-imposed. Others are, I guess, kind of dropped on your lap, you know, the hot potato thing.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's more like hot goulash, because it kind of seems to just kind of ooze and spread all over the place.
Yeah, it just sticks there.
Yeah, this Sharps thing.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anything that would be more personally challenging to accept than not only recognition of drug use, but almost the codification,
right,
of drug use. And we're going not only to enable, but we're going to clean up after you also. And I know there's public safety involved and all that kind of stuff, but when that edict came down, what was the reaction?
I don't know if we saw it so much as an edict as, gee, this problem is just growing. And yeah, what are all the causes of it? I mean, besides, heroin possession's now a misdemeanor, or has been for a while in the state of California. So from an enforcement standpoint, there's not a lot that can be done about dealing with heroin use. Traditionally there haven't been enough treatment for it. Certainly there have been some improvements in that regard with waterfront recovery services. John McManus will be making a report to City Council Tuesday night, so that'll be good. Get our kind of first status update from John. The Senator McGuire and Supervisor Bass co-sponsored the November kind of town hall meeting on opioids, and there's going to be some follow-up from McGuire's office. Sounds like probably around in March. Haven't heard any date set yet. And one of the big things that people were just plain upset about was the syringe litter, because businesses are dealing with it, you know, around, in their alleys, sidewalks. We're finding parks and private properties. And I think if there's one thing that becomes just such a lightning rod over the whole opioid use, it wasn't the overdose and deaths from it. It was the syringe litter that feels like everyone was being, feeling like they had to deal with, because obviously real concerns about if a child, or for that matter, anyone gets, poked by a needle that and hepatitis transmission or something else. So, a number of organizations been involved in cleanups. One of the things that city's been involved in since about the end of October, we've had stakeholder meetings with DHHS, St. Joseph, Open Door, Humboldt Area Center for Harm Reduction. And kind of out of those meetings came DHHS putting in the kiosks for syringes, the city starting our plan of getting Sharps containers out at various locations. We're going to be doing more education about that really in the next couple of weeks. And working with Hatcher and the other syringe exchange programs to try to reduce this on their end. And as Hatcher has indicated, they've gone to a one-to-one needle exchange.
What is Hatcher?
Humboldt Area Center for Harm Reduction.
They're
the ones that
are they nonprofit or the state?
They
agency?
Are a nonprofit that receive their funding from the state. So Hatcher typically gets quite often the brunt of criticism from people in terms of the explosion of needles, because that's
ease.
Where addicts
access,
go
yeah.
to get clean needles.
But if somebody is a diabetic, could they go and get their needles there?
I haven't heard.
The drug use?
I think. I believe it's more the drug use. I think the diabetics, go to the pharmacy. I don't think we think that the diabetic use is the problem.
No, not a problem. But if it's free, it's free. And
yeah. So it's a matter of trying to work with them, and at least anecdotally, and this is still awfully early. Police are saying in the last couple months they're seeing less syringe waste. Some of the organizations doing cleanup have also said they've seen less in the last month or two.
So there's some impact on it.
But we need to start, we want to see this over time. We don't just need a little bit of a lower, and then have it spike back up in the next month or so.
Another one of the areas I think, physical, fear, safety, all that kind of stuff, is the homeless encampments.
Yeah.
When it was behind Bayshore Mall, if you didn't go into that area, okay.
Kind of out of sight, out of mind.
You didn't see it. And now we're seeing within Eureka not only wanderers, but some of the city benches have been taken over almost as permanent residents.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit of land cleanup that was going on. I saw out where the highways come in and leave town, out here on our end of town, things get cleaned up, and all you see is a bunch of garbage down there. Have you seen a decrease in the numbers? Is the pushing people around doing anything? Or is it just putting them in other areas and we're seeing the spread out mm-hmm. of the garbage and the refuge?
Well, that was always the big concern going back to May of 2016 when we eliminated, mostly eliminated. And we will come back to it after this commercial break.
Good job. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Talk Shop presented by American Ag Credit, Lolita Cheese Company, Redec, and CDH Painting. Greg, looking at some of the challenges with the, not the homeless. I mean, you say that and people think you're attacking people. And, you know, some may warrant that. Some people may feel comfortable with that. But that's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the garbage. Just, you know, the it's not mine anymore. You clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. How much does that cost the city each year just to go around and clean up after what is left in these various places throughout the city?
You know, it's a big use of our, you know, harbor staff time. And quite frankly, it's not as bad as when we were doing the regular cleanups behind the Bayshore Mall and in Palco Marsh, where we you know, we had the sheriff's swap crew in every week as well as our own staff. So so much of it now, I think, is a little more being the brunt is being bared by individual property owners and businesses in some of these areas, probably even more so than how it's hitting the city.
Because they're not on city property at this point?
Not
or as often?
Yeah, not as often. We're certainly still doing cleanups. But also, we've, you know, just been a lot of organizations involved in cleanups, from, you know, Rotary Club to Packout Green Team and various organizations like that, different citizen groups that are involved in.
So where do they get things like recliners? And some of these other things that you see, you look and you go, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, and then I guess part of that is people leaving their crap on the sidewalks, the sofas and the things free. Like,
yeah.
Take care of your own stuff, man. Don't.
Yeah,
don't.
You do see a lot. I just noticed as we were been out for walks the last couple nights of here at the end of the month for January, and there's been some, you know, people moving out of various houses, apartments, and stuff out on the sidewalk, and the next night it wasn't there, so you know, somebody's picking it up. I mean, some case maybe putting to good use, and other, yeah, is it just getting drugged to down into some greenbelt area for, you know, for a few weeks until it gets kind of totally trashed? And
well, and why does somebody think that leaving it on the sidewalk is an acceptable action?
I don't know. You know, we try to put out information pretty regularly on large, bulky items. You get two a year, you know, with your trash pickup that you
down
know,
at Joe's place, yeah,
and they can easily be taken care of. So, I think a lot of times,
can you go after those people?
We can, and sometimes it's, you know, sometimes hard to tell just where it came from. If from, say, in front of an apartment building, okay,
I
yeah.
I bet you it'd be pretty easy to talk to the manager, yeah, and say, who moved out last night?
Yeah. So certainly we follow up with those from a code enforcement standpoint. And
but a low priority?
Well, a lot of times the bigger priority is just making sure it gets off the sidewalk rather than trying to track down who put it there.
Can the city just take one of the dump trucks? Drive around, because I would think it's a whole lot easier to grab one of those, throw it in the back, or, you know, if there's five or six of them a day kind of thing, it wouldn't take too terribly long. Go down, you know, make a dump run.
They typically get thrown more in the back of a pickup, that type of thing. It's not too often that it's, you know, large sofas. It's
okay,
but right,
so
it's
the concept.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I saw one. I think it was on Harris. Dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
You kidding me? A dishwasher?
Yeah, dishwashers, washers, dryers, A lot of things just seem to find their way out, sometimes more on a corner, so then you really don't know where it came from.
Free, like it has value. No, it's just garbage.
A broken down washing machine, right?
Yeah. I suppose that is down that whole continuum of personal responsibility and the lack thereof for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to the cleanup stuff, it's not more, you don't think? It's just being dispersed more throughout the area and not as concentrated?
I think that's it. You know, as we're talking about the various encampments, you know, at one point we had 200, 220 people living behind the mall.
Now it's registered, quote-unquote, in the city of Eureka. That's that number? Or that was just a census count that happened periodically?
Yeah, kind of a law enforcement census count. But at the same time you had that 220, you had people behind Humboldt County Office of Education and all these other various locations.
Oh, yeah, out behind the old Pepsi plant.
We got some disbursement, obviously, when we shrunk that area down behind the mall and then eventually moved it all out. And we still have to keep going back in there weekly to deal with new encampments that try to get started. But the last thing you need is it's a lot easier to deal with when it's 2, 3, 4 people versus, obviously, 50 people, 100 people.
Is there any relief, Greg, on being able to, regardless of the zone, trim up? If a tree is trimmed or a roadie is trimmed without all the lower branches, it's really tough for somebody to get traction, hiding underneath something that doesn't provide any cover. Is there any allowances? Is the state talking about it? Are the cities... You know, when you're going to the league meetings for the cities in the state, is anybody talking about something just as simple as that?
Yeah, the only area we have a problem with that is within the coastal zone. And we've brought that issue up with Coastal Commission staff locally. When Coastal Commission was in Arcata for their meeting, gosh, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I went and spoke, brought up that same issue. But there's nothing that's changed on that.
Deaf ears?
We're certainly unresponsive.
There may be some sympathy, but deaf ears,
yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, this is the time of the year, particularly with a nice little spate of weather that we've had. Everybody kind of starts thinking a little bit happier thoughts. So as you're looking forward to spring and summer, what one project that Eureka is going to do, city thereof, that's got you really kind of excited? What's the thing that's going to be fun?
Well, actually, first off, coming up this next week, we have February 6th, the grand opening on Waterfront Trail with the new section. And then coming up on the weekend, our community services staff has put together a film, which I think is still in the final editing, to kind of show the whole history of how the trail system was started and kind of the things that had to be overcome to get it to this point. So that's just kind of exciting with the trail system. The I think for this summer, it always seems to be too much of a downer of talking about, you know, lack of resources, but certainly from the SB1 funding, we'll have a little more money to put into roads this year than what we've previously had over the years.
Like finishing out 8th Street?
Yes, maybe? Like doing that. And also this, I think this fall will be, I think council's pretty serious about taking a sales tax initiative voters for just roads. So we'll be talking more about that in the upcoming months.
You're going to have a sponsoring entity, so you guys can actually do some marketing with that and tell the story? Because I know in the past it's been, well...
Right, from the city standpoint...
Let us talk about it, and nobody gets it.
We can't, in a sense, do the marketing, but we've... starting to talk to people who can kind of lead that effort. So we'll be looking for something to come forward on that in the next couple of months.
Probably not the shock absorber salespeople.
Right. But, you know, you talk about, of course, the spring. I was back in Iowa and Minnesota over Christmas and got to re-experience minus 20 below zero in Iowa for two nights in a row. So coming back to California, I had to text my brother because we actually went down to Southern California for a bit. I said, 72 degrees versus that minus 20 is a 92-degree temperature difference in about 30 hours. So,
so shock to the system, eh?
That's right. So, no, I think we have some things in place that are going to make 2018
a better year
than 2017. That's always hard to say. But yeah, yeah, some things
roads would be something. I mean, if you can get roads, that's
if
cool.
If the general nationwide economy is doing better, I think that's always a positive sign.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Talk to you tomorrow.